Hey, today we are talking about that the Holy Spirit can change us. In fact, it can continue to change us. So let me just pray and invite the Holy Spirit here. God, today we do just that. We invite the Holy Spirit of God to come and change us. God, change every single one of us who's sitting here, people that came from far, from near. God, do exactly what you want to do today. Today is yours. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, speaking of change, in a few weeks, we'll take about 2,000 total people to summer camp with us. And I call it the week of change. I've called it that multiple times, and here's why. We try in general to bring back the same amount of students that we bring, okay? And we get close, okay? And although the same bodies come back, right? Same hairstyles, same whatever they riz, I don't know, whatever's happening, like, the same people come back and they talk the same, like, something's changed. Now, not with everybody, but many of these students at camp, they've had an encounter with God. And many of these students at camp, they've met Jesus and had a relationship, and the Holy Spirit of God, we've been calling this the X factor, has entered into their life in middle school and high school, and they're different. Same people, but they've changed. And I could get up here and I could just tell story after story of change, but I'll give you just one today. This last year, we went to Cedarville, Ohio for camp. And if you've never been to Cedarville, Ohio, picture just a ton of cornfields, but like in the 1930s, okay? And a dollar store. They've got a dollar store. Now, we pre-thought out, like, they'll want to go to the dollar store, so it's the only thing there, literally. So what is up with rural areas just having Dollar Generals by the dozens? It's got a dollar store, and so we put a police officer there, we put leaders there, and we're like, during free time, they can get a Slurpee, okay? And three junior guys, day one of camp, meander over to the dollar store, okay? They go past the police officer, they go past the leaders, and they go up to the counter, and they say, we will take a pack of condoms. Some of y'all just woke up. Hey, good morning. Welcome to church. Yeah. Now, a couple things up front. One, if you are in the market for this, don't get them from the dollar store. All right? There are certain things we don't skimp on. All right? That's for free. Secondly, the kid assured us, where everyone's there, the kid assured us, don't worry, they're not for camp, they're for afterwards. We're like, oh yeah, get the bulk pack. No, like, we confiscated these things. And the kid went on to say, like, he didn't want to be there. He would do anything he could to get kicked out of camp. And let me tell you, 90% of churches in the country, they would have sent this kid walking, right? Now, to be clear, there was consequences and their parents were called and all that stuff. However, we knew, if this team of juniors, if they stayed, just maybe they could have an encounter with God. Like, just maybe change could be for them. And let me tell you, by the last night of camp, I see one of these kids front row, both hands in the air, the same God. He said he wanted nothing to do with. He's sitting up there worshiping that God because he's had an encounter with him, the X factor, the Holy Spirit. That's right, in this young man's life. Now, adults, we love these stories of the next generation about change, right? That's why I told one up front. I mean, we eat that stuff up. We're like graduation, like a senior in high school or someone graduating, like they can go change the world. But we hit a moment, I don't know when it is, in our life where we start saying, but that's kind of for them and it's not for me, right? Like I'm pretty comfy here, it's a lot easier for them to bet the farm when they don't have a farm to bet, like, right? And I got a 401k and my family, and like, if I change too much, like, who's going to watch the dog? And like, I've got college, and it's a lot easy for us to get so excited about other people changing and not really looking internally about our change. And so I remind you, today's main idea, our topic, is that the Holy Spirit changes us. All of us. And the Holy Spirit does not discriminate. It does not matter your age or race or gender. I don't even think your height or weight matters. Holy Spirit changes us. In fact, today's story, as we continue in this series about Acts, is in Acts chapter 3 about a man who's 40 years old. Now, I know what you're thinking, Joel, that's like the prime of life, right? Like that is not old. Now, in this day and age, a typical lifespan of an individual would be around 48. And so this man really, truly, in this day, was towards the end of his life. yet he experiences drastic, drastic change. Now, two other things I want you to know about this man as we pick up kind of in Acts 3. One is this man was born without the ability to walk. He didn't have use of his legs. Now, in today's day and age, I am so proud of where we've come with technology and advances in this, but in this day, there was really nothing for this individual. A wheelchair, in fact, in many areas, this man was kind of ostracized because of just this disability he was born with. And the last thing I want you to know about this man is every single day, every day, the Bible says, this man was carried with his friends, or by his friends, up in front of the temple, and he was set in front of the temple in front of a gate known as Beautiful. It was this gorgeous copper gate, and he would sit there, and he would ask for change. Now, not the type of change we're talking about, but literal spare change, right? This was called alms, silver and gold. And two individuals by the name of Peter and John walk past this man. Now, we know Peter and John. Peter and John they're an unlikely duo. Okay, I call them kind of the Kobe and Shaq of Scripture. They're so different, but always together. They're fishing buddies. They run together to see Jesus' empty tomb. They did ministry in Samaria, and we see them here. And this individual asks them for change. And we pick up in verse 6, and Peter says this. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. Now, this is interesting for a few different reasons. This man, honestly, truly, really wouldn't have had any silver or gold. Peter wouldn't have. A couple different reasons for this. One, he was a pastor, okay? I don't got no silver and gold. Greg, you got silver or gold? None. Yeah, none. One, was a pastor. Secondly, this was the rise of the early church. If you've been following with us, Acts chapter 2 through 47, the church takes off. And this is these individuals that were having encounters with the Holy Spirit. They would sell everything they had and give away anything they had in access to those in need. And so Peter's like, I've already sold and given everything I have. I don't have silver or gold, which would be enough for this man to just ride them off, right? Like, well, that's what I'm asking for is spare change. But Peter says, but what I do have, I give to you. In fact, I don't give it in my name, not Peter's name, not John's name. I give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He says, rise up and walk. This is bold. This is now Peter who has the Holy Spirit, the X factor. Nothing's even happened yet. He says, get up, stand up. He rises up and walks. And then he reaches down with his right hand, not on accident, a symbol of kind of equality. And he raises him up and immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately. His feet and ankles, like the biology changes in them, muscles grow and he's made strong. And this man that for 40 years has walked and lied, or has lied down in this exact same place, is now walking and jumping and gritting and dancing. Like, he's moving. A miracle's happened. Change has happened, and this man's life is forever changed. Now, let me ask you guys, do we like change? Yeah, mixed room, okay. I like change when it's good, okay? Is that fair? Yeah, I like change when it's good. This is clearly good change, but even within good change, there's two types of change. There is the change we want, right? And the change we need. Both can be good. I mean, watch this story. This man, he wants spare change. That's good change. Silver and gold, that's good. That's what he wants. What did he need? Something that was going to drastically change his life forever. Change that we want is one thing, but change that we need is completely different. I'll give you some examples. When I was a freshman in college, now, is this a safe room? A safe place? Other locations it is? All right. Freshman in college, I went my entire first semester. I never changed the sheets once. Sorry, my wife's going to kill me for saying that, but it was 75 cents to do laundry. I have no silver and gold. I told you that. I don't have none. Never changed them once. Now, we agree, I didn't want to do that. It wasn't change I wanted. That would have been good change, right? Maybe I needed to do that. All right, I'll give you a different one. Third grade, I got the coolest birthday gift in the world. I got a waterbed. I got a waterbed. We filled this thing up with a hose. I had that thing for years and years and years. You think I ever changed the water in that once? I promise I'm cleaner now. Like, I think I do. No, I didn't want to. You'd had to do a whole thing. Now, here's what's interesting. How many of you had a waterbed? Wow. Very, very, like a lot of you had waterbeds. Now, I'm going to confess something, all right? You had, I hope that was past tense, a waterbed. You come up to me right now and you tell me, even as a pastor, you tell me you have a waterbed, I'm going to instantly judge you, okay? I just need you to know, your takeaway from this message is just get you a mattress. I passed three on the way here, okay? That could be your whole message. You can go, all right? Had a waterbed, never change this once. I don't want to. Change I want is different than change you need. Now, those are both surface level examples. Let me explain why, even deeper one, I was having to change the water or found this out. Junior year of high school, years later, when I'm moving, my dad had just lost his job. It was not change I wanted. That's why we had to empty the waterbed and find all this nastiness in there, right? Right? My dad lost his job, and I found out that we were going to move from where I lived then, which was Houston, Texas, to this place called Ohio. That was not the change I wanted. I was going to move to Ohio, okay? My Kentucky locations. Y'all get this, all right? And it wasn't. Now, here's what's so cool and why I'm so thankful that I'm not the only one in control of my life. God knew, though, that that might just be the change I needed. In fact, at the time, it pulled me out of the exact friend group I needed to be pulled out of. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was what I needed. I think of so many more examples of, like, I would have never moved to the Midwest and been a part of a church I now love called Crossroads Church. But that was change I needed. Right, I think of this right here. This is my wonderful wife right here. Her name's Anna. And we've made 8 years, and we met because at a school in the Midwest, because I'd moved to the Midwest, not because of something I wanted, but God knew something I needed, right? Like, it's incredible. And there is a clear difference of change we want and change we need. And God is so much more concerned about this one, the one we need. This man right here, he reaches out. He's asking for spare change, silver and gold. This is good change. I want this. And there was something so much more drastic that this man needed. Now, I want you to actually think about this, because if we actually break this down, this was kind of inconsiderate of Peter to just change this man's life like this without asking him. Like, it really was. Like this man, it said he was more than 40 years old. That's all we know about him and his age. And this man's job is to come here daily and ask for spare change. I mean, this man's life is about to be drastically changed, and with a few years left in a high trade society, like trade-based roles, this man's going to have to go learn some sort of trade to maybe get like the lower end of payment for his few years on earth. I think of his relationships. This man was carried by his friends every day. I don't know how their relationship is going to continue or differ on the other side of this. I think of how probably dependent this man would have been and now has to, just with years left, find dependence. Like if Peter was actually kind, he would have went up to him and been like, hey, here's the deal. In 48 hours, I'll come back and I could do something miraculous, okay? Like, you can start walking, your ankles will be made strong, but really consider this, okay? It's gonna be a lot of change, and I know that you wanted a different change, but I'm gonna come back 48 hours, you tell me yes or no. He didn't do that though, because he knew this man needed this. Now, two miracles actually took place as this happened. One is the obvious one. This man's legs were healed. He's jumping, he's dancing, it's incredible. The second one, though, almost every scholar would argue, it also happened in this man, and it's even more incredible. Many of us know the greatest change that can happen in a human is the human heart, right? And the second thing that happens is this man, most scholars believe this man would have gotten the Holy Spirit of God right here. This was done in the name of Jesus. And the reason most people believe this is the way this man responds. He actually responds, like a few weeks ago, like the people at Pentecost. Pentecost is when Jesus ascended into earth and the Holy Spirit came and the people were acting wild. In fact, if you were here for BT's message, they literally were like, are they drunk? Like, they didn't know what was happening with these people because they were acting so wild. And this is this man's response. Verse 8, and leaping up, he stood up, he began to walk. It's like a movie scene. He enters into the temple, which he's probably never been in, and he starts walking and leaping and jumping and praising God. Two miracles took place, the physical one, but this man just got the Holy Spirit of God in his life. And the miracle that took place before everyone's eyes is this man went from spiritually dead to spiritually alive, and people were noticing it. Now, in our life, I do believe there's people in here that will see physical miracles. Absolutely, is God still doing that? But I also know many, many, many of you who have or will experience this spiritual miracle we're talking about. And it is a miracle. It's a miracle of you literally being dead to sin and becoming alive in Christ. My question to those of you that have experienced this, you have the Holy Spirit, the X factor, is do you act like a miracle has happened in your life? Does your response look anything like this individual that we see in Acts chapter 3? Now, if you've never really heard this message, this concept, that this is a miracle taking place, not just a prayer prayed, I want to break this down to you as clear as I can today, all right? So I've got some props behind me. I'm a student guy. I'm definitely going to have props that are going to help me do this, all right? This box right here, if I can spin it, this represents sin, all right? Now, you and me, we are born into sin. Ever since Adam, all the way back in Genesis 1, sinned, sin entered this world, and we're now born in sin. You may say that's not fair, and I would say it's not. It's not fair, but it's true. So we better do something about it, right? So let me just make this crystal clear, all right? I got some props here. These little things right here, these are going to represent you front rowers, all right? I got a few of them here. Now, which one do you want? You want the shark? You can be the shark. Great. This is on you guys. Memorial Day weekend, student guys teaching your front row. That's no one else's fault. But you came early. Surely there's a special place in heaven, right? Like that. I mean, you guys, you're dressed, you're ready, yet even them, front rowers, in sin, all right? We understand this? Let me keep going. Who's someone like really holy? Like, I don't know, Mother Teresa, or like, oh, I got one even holier. This one is Chuck Mingo, okay? Yeah. Hey, Chuck. Chuck Mingo even. Are you ready for this? In sin, all right? I mean, I could keep going, all right? This one represents my wife. And actually, I'm not. There's no need. I'll upset her there. Yeah, thank you for having my back. Ooh, but this one will hit just as hard home to you guys. This one represents your grandmother. Yeah, I don't know what you call her, granny, Mimi, pee-pee. I don't know, okay? This is her. Even your grandmother, nasty, rotten sinner. Okay, are we understanding? I don't know your grandmother, okay? So all of us, all right? Even my wife, all right? Love you. In sin, all right? So let's see if this helps. So this is myself even. I'm not just going to throw other people in there, all right? Physically, all right? Inside of sin. Now this might actually be clarifying for some of you. Because some of us think, like, I'm just next to sin, or, like, when is my birthday? Or, like, you know, but, like, no. All of us, and this is why, like, we do what we don't want to do. And it doesn't make sense. Like, why did I do that, you know? And what we want to do, like, we just can't do it. Like, it's because we're not near this entangles that we are in it. And this is why this is a miracle. Because we were once this way in sin, but Romans says, but God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners in sin, Christ came and died for us. And this box represents just that. This is my Christ box. Now again, if you're new to church, this is Jesus Christ, all right? And Jesus represents God himself, the creator of the world in human form, right? Human embodiment. I call this God in a bod, all right? That should have got a better laugh. That is a good joke, okay? That was a good one. It is. So he walked this earth perfectly. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, like this man lived a perfect life. He was tempted by Satan himself, but yet literal perfection. And so yet while we are over here in sin, Christ is this embodiment, this clear picture of purity and perfection. And what happened is after 33 years, he went to a cross. And while we were still sinners, died for us. And in exchange, a miracle happened where our sin went on his back to where God couldn't even look at him. He turned his face And his perfection went on ours so that we literally could become a different person. We could go from in sin to a brand new creation, purified and clean in Christ. In fact, yeah. We know this and we read this, but it's hard to visualize. Like we've ran through a football sign that says, like, I can do all things through him. Colossians says, hidden in Christ who is my life. We are a new person. But what happens is we're so used to that, that even though we're no longer that, sometimes we like to just look over. Sometimes we like to just like, well, I just, you know. Is there like, can I do like one leg in and like what we think like one leg out, like, you know, like the work days, those are boring days, but like the, you know, I'll do, okay, but the weekend, like we don't understand that a literal exchange has happened, that we were dead. We were slaves to this. These things had authority over this. Chains were broken, bonds were destroyed, and we're new in Christ, not in our name. It's a miracle, yet many of us aren't acting like it. We've changed, this is the way I say it, but we're not changing. Nothing looks different. We're still going back to things that, simply put, don't have authority over us anymore. Now, this is kind of exactly what happens in this story. This man right here, this is so interesting to me. This man right here, he's been healed. A physical healing has taken place. I mean, this man's made strong, yet when the crowds start getting around him, he gets really close to Peter and John. Verse 11 literally says this right here. It says, while he clung to Peter and John. So this man right here, I went up and looked this word clung up to see where else it was used in the New Testament. Most places it's used, it means to arrest. I mean, this man is grabbing onto these individuals. Now, why would a man whose ankles are made strong and can walk and dance, why would he need to cling onto these people next to him? He wouldn't. However, for 40 plus years of his life, if he were to stand there, what would he have to do? He'd have to cling. So a man that doesn't need to cling, we catch him back there clinging to things that he doesn't need to cling to when he can stand on his own. I'm preaching right now, all right? This individual didn't need to do this, yet he's doing it because he's used to it. And so often we have been freed. A miracle has taken place. We have the X factor of God. And yet we turn around as a new creation and we go back and we grab onto things that we don't need to stand, that we don't need to exist, yet we give authority. It's like putting handcuffs on when we're freed. And we don't need to anymore. I think of our Good Friday service here at Crossroads. How many of y'all were at the Good Friday service? Okay, this room, at least six went, so that's good. Good Friday service was unreal imagery. It was phenomenal. Pastor Brian, I've never called him Pastor Brian in my life. I don't know why I called him that. Brian, our lead pastor, had us write our sins on a piece of paper, and we went up. It was neat. We went up and physically nailed it to the cross as a representation that we were once in sin, but that's died, that's been nailed to the same cross that Jesus has been nailed to. And it was awesome because I'm really nosy, and like they'd be like, write your darkest sins, and then we had like 10 4K cameras, you know, like zooming in on everyone, right? You tell me I'm not the only one, right? I was sitting there in line, and someone would be like, I hit my neighbor's cat, and I haven't told anyone. I'm like, oh my, I'm glad they're here. Like, I don't know. Or like people eventually started writing in code. Anyone writing code on stuff? Yeah, I would just like look up and they'd be writing truth and nailing it. And I'd be like, you think they don't tell the truth? Like you think someone isn't telling the truth to them? Like you think it's a Rheingeist beer truth? Like anyway, we would nail these to the cross as this representation, and then we would go home. And all it took for the majority of us, at least, was one thing. It knocked, he knocked, she knocked. And all of a sudden, something we just nailed to the cross, we would go back and give authority to. My favorite analogy for this is an international adoption. I know many families are part of this church that have been a part of an international adoption where they've adopted these beautiful young, like, boys and girls. And And after all the paperwork is done with that final signature, everything in the life of this child changes, right? With that final signature, their name changes. With that final signature, like where they live changes. With that final signature, they go from a country in many times of poverty to a country in America, which is a country of wealth. And everything changes with the signature. And their parents could come and they could knock on the door, right? They could say, give me back our child, the old parents. And the new parents would say, uh-uh, you don't have authority over my child anymore, right? But then we hear these stories of these children, they're horror stories, clinging, hiding food or hoarding food when they don't need to. They have plenty, but it's what they're used to doing in these situations. And spiritually, so often, we are told we have the same spirit that started the early church, that came on the day of Pentecost, that rose Christ from the grave, living inside of us, but we're clinging. And can I tell you, church, clinging is the enemy of change. It is really hard to change when you're clinging. And yet so many of us are clinging to something we are freed from. So let me just ask you. You don't got to tell me or raise a hand, but are you clinging to something you're freed from? Are you clinging to that addiction that you know chains have been broken for? Are you clinging to the way you treat people and talk to people? Are you clinging to the way you spend your time and isolate yourself? Or are you changing? You're clinging or you're changing? Are you spending your time in ways that don't serve me and now but others and later? Are you spending money on yourself? You're clinging back to how you've always done it, or on other people? Like what's your life look like? Are you clinging or are you changing? Because it's really hard to do both. It's really difficult to do both. See, I think of even my own story. At 5 years old, I truly believe, people don't believe me, I truly believe I gave my life to Christ and got the Holy Spirit in my life. 5 years old. I the gospel's like an ocean. Like there's parts so deep you can never understand, but so simple like the beach, like a five-year-old. They can get it. So I love our kids club and our student ministry. And at 5 years old, I give my life and I changed. But I didn't start changing for a while. I didn't really even know how to or when to or why, you know. It truly was college until I started changing. And my sin was so different. Everyone's story is so different. I call myself a recovering legalist. Like I just thought it was rules and regulations. And it wasn't until college where truly I let the Holy Spirit do some work on me to start changing. And so I don't tell you this so you go home sad. I tell you that you've been changed. And today might be, this is hope, might be the day that you start letting that change you. Because you've been changed, marked. The Holy Spirit, the X factor lives in you. A miracle has happened. And so let's start acting like it. Now, I would say if this happens, but let me just say when this happens, one of two things will happen, okay? One of two things will happen. One is there will be a people group that don't understand this, okay? They won't understand this change happening in your life. Maybe they've already given up on change for them, and so they see it happen in you, and they're threatened, and they don't understand it. In fact, this is exactly what we see with this man in Acts 3. This man, I haven't given him a name yet, all right? He doesn't have, should we give him a name? What's a name? Zane? Sure. All right. That was a millennial for sure. All right. Zane. There's no chance his name was Zane, right? We can agree on that? No world. That's fine. Zane and Peter and John. they get thrown in prison, all right? And literally, like the people, they don't understand. They're like, this man was, why do we have to change him? Like, he's older in his life. He's got years left to live. Like, what's the change happening? They don't understand what's going on. I actually love the phrasing. Chapter 4 now, right at the beginning. It says this. So as they were speaking to the people, the priest, who would have been at the temple often, right? And the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them greatly annoyed. I love that. Like, that's what's going to happen in our lives when we change. There's going to be people who don't get it. In fact, they might use that phrasing. Like, you look different, right? Like, you're no fun anymore. Or they might even say this, you've changed. To which your response will be, that's the point. Like, that's the point. I've got the Holy Spirit of God in my life. I've changed. And I'm going to start changing. Now, the second thing that may just happen in your life, in fact, this one's way more exciting, and so I'll say will happen, is your change will actually spark others to change around you. We've heard stories. We actually heard one in a video last week of a marriage where one person changes and it sparks the other change. Or a friendship where it sparks a change in another friend. And this specific change sparked a lot of change. It says this: "But many of those who heard the word believed." Okay, so this man's healed physically, spiritually, and Peter decides to use this as a sermon illustration. So he's talking about the Jesus. I don't know if he had like the boxes like these, but he did something, and he's talking about this, and so many start changing. They believe. In fact, here's how many. It says this: "And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Now, right before this, in the early church, there was 3,000 men a part of it. So I'm no mathematician, but help me out. What's 5,000 minus 3,000? Okay, 2,000. So 2,000 people changed. This is actually the first ever recorded miracle in the New Testament church. Maybe outside of Pentecost, but for sure the miracle of healing. And it changes so many people, sparks this 2,000 people that will go on from there, those 2,000, and they will start something known as the Way. It was the movement of the early church that would eventually go to Samaria and the ends of the earth. And honestly, the reason you're sitting in your seat right now is because of this man's change that sparked change that sparked change. Now, here's what's cool. I had our data team go and give me some stats on kind of the change we've seen here in the last 12 months. Now, they told me up front, like, it's really hard to measure change, right? We have no idea how much change. You guys don't talk about the change that's happening in coffee shops or talking about in, like, CrossFit gyms, right? Like, well, if it happened in a CrossFit gym, you would talk about it. But it, you get what I'm saying. But baptism is a really good data for just public change. It's dead to sin, alive in Christ. And so, okay, I said I'll take that number. In the last 12 months as a church, 12 months, we have seen 2,181 people get baptized. 2,181 people. Now, here's where this got really interesting for me. That's 181 more than the story in Acts chapter 3 of the early church. Yet, have we seen anywhere near the change that we saw there? Or have we changed and we aren't changing? I mean, we can't be a church that just talks about having the Holy Spirit or raising a hand or singing the songs without it letting it impact our life. Because yes, we've changed, but we have to continually let him change us. I think of the past 10 years, like tens of thousands of people that have gone. A miracle has happened from in sin to in Christ. New creations changed. And what if today was the day we started changing, moving, letting this hit all the ends of the earth? There's a quote by a pastor and theologian that passed away about a week ago named Tim Keller. And he talks about the gospel. This message is this right here. He says this: "The gospel is this: we are more sinful and more flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. A miracle has taken place because of the person of Jesus, and we now have the embodiment, the Holy Spirit, living in us to not just stay the same, to not cling, but to change the people in the world around us." I want to close by talking on behalf of the generation I oversee. I oversee middle school and high school students, but we'll just say the entire next generation, because they can't see a church that says they've changed but are looking the exact same. In fact, this generation, you know, they don't care, like, what you do. Like, we used to care. Like, if someone was like, "I'm a doctor," right? Like, what car do you drive? Like, we cared, right? Now, like, do your kids even know what you do? Like, they don't care. It's so strange. They don't care what you do, right? They care in what you're doing. They want to see your actions. And so if we're saying we've changed but aren't changing, they're going to catch it. And we can't afford to let that happen. Now, let me just show you how fast time passes, all right? This generation, these graduating seniors this year, they were born in the year 2005. What were you doing in 2005? Right? You either had a Livestrong bracelet on or Juicy written on your butt, okay? It was one, you did one, I know you. You have one of those two things. They're graduating. I'll make it go even faster. the ones driving right now that you shared a road with today. They were born in 2007, right? What's my point? There's no time to wait. Time seems to just fade away. Life is but a mist, right? There's no time to say, we'll get around to changing. The time is today. And the generation behind us, I can't wait for them to see a church that hasn't just said they've changed, but they're changing. They're not just changing themselves. That's right, they're changing the world around them, and the generations behind them catch it. Now, maybe you're here today and you're saying, I've never made this decision. I've never even really heard it this explicitly laid out. Well, today, just know it's that simple. You've never understood why you couldn't figure this out on yourself, like by yourself. It's that simple. Today, the miracle could happen in you. To go from dead to sin to physically alive in Christ. And for those of you that have made this decision, this is hopeful. You've changed and years might go by, but today could be the day that you start changing. And generations and peoples in our city are gonna catch it because a miracle has happened. And so let us be a church that acts like it. Let me pray for you guys. God, I pray over anyone within earshot of me at all locations, God. I truly do pray for change. God, we plead not just for the change we want, the change we need. Bring it, God. Bring the change. God, if anyone is in here that has never made this decision to change their life, God, let them just right now pray to you. Pray to you that they give over their sin and they believe in your death and resurrection so that they could have a new life in Christ. And for those of you, God, those of us, really, that have been changed, that now have your Holy Spirit, the X Factor, living inside us. Let a movement start that shows that. Let something even greater than the early days of the church begin in our time frame and for the generations behind us to pick up and carry on. We love you, God. Let none of this be done in our name. Let this all be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.